Thanks for listening to Stokely and Zach On Demand. Before Zach tells us who is moonwalking in the Hall of Fame today, have you subscribed to our podcast? Subscribe everywhere you get your podcast or at 1043thefan.com.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
James Merlat from DenverFan.com filling in for Zach By. Brandon Stokely is here in his normal perch. Stoke, how you doing today?
Man, doing great. Doing like better than great.
Good?
Better than great.
Now, is that because we were just at training camp and we learned so much at practice and it all kind of came together and we're connecting the dots and putting the pieces together? Is that
No. Usually that doesn't have anything to do with my mood.
Okay. You know,
it's like, hey, what are my plans this afternoon? How's the weather? You know, I went over to PGA Superstore, picked myself up a pair of shoes, got my golf club fixed, and, you know, going to hit the course later this afternoon.
Gotcha.
My oldest is a senior in high school today, his first day of his senior year, so proud of him. And look, man, I mean, hey, it's all around good day for me. How about you?
Good. Similar. Yeah. My three boys, first day of school today.
Today also for them.
Yeah, so I have the sophomore, seventh grader, and fourth grader. So I got to deal with one of the most annoying things in life, though. And if you got a senior, he's well past this, but the drop-off line.
Ooh.
Now, the drop-off line.
Well, I have a freshman also, to give you a heads up.
Yeah. Do you have to go take him, or does he ride with his senior brother? Like, how?
Got to take him.
Okay, so you still deal with the drop off line? Then.
Well, my wife does. That's how the Stokely household works.
That's
James.
Good. That's good delegation.
Yeah.
So
everybody's got their role. Everybody's got a job, James. You know. I mean.
Yep.
So like, I don't know what to tell you on that one.
Well, I drew the short straw apparently. So
okay.
I had the drop off today. Now, drop off's always kind of a nightmare, but first day.
Yeah.
When nobody remembers, it's like the first time it snows and nobody remembers how to drive in the snow. Drop off line and nobody's going and, you know, people aren't being aggressive and they're just kind of sitting there and it takes, you know, like 20 minutes when it should take 5. That was the only part of my day that made me a little grumpy.
Yep.
Everything else was great. We get to training camp.
Last day.
It's done.
And oh, by the way, real quick, I was fortunate enough to, I worked with Steve Atwater this morning on his show that he does during, the Broncos practice. So, it was, the last day of that. So I think, I don't know if they had a lot of people cancel or what happened, but, you know, I got called up from the minors to the majors, but that was a lot of fun. Always a blast hanging out with Steve Atwater, total stud. So that was fun. That was cool.
Yeah. Kind of a big deal.
When I got there, it was originally just me and Richie, and I'm like, I wonder where Stoke is. And then he let me know you were up.
I was there.
You were a big TV star today, basically,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And you know, and then when Tyler showed up, he was trying to poke fun at you, saying, "Oh, they finally got around to Stoke." And my take on it was, they saved the best
save
for last.
Save the best for last. Yes.
That was my take, being a good teammate here. But training camp today. Look, and we talked about it yesterday, and I wrote a column about it on DenverFan.com. That these practices are boring, and they're boring every day. At some point. We just need to come to the reality of, I think that's on purpose. Today was a whole nother level. It was essentially a glorified walkthrough.
Yeah.
Kind of an anticlimactic way to end all of the open practices. I think we had, 13 where fans could go. Not a lot to glean, although there was, if we're, you know, playing, you know, Russell Crowe in A Beautiful Mind and kind of connecting dots and
that was a good movie. That was a good one, right?
Very good movie.
Yeah, I don't remember a whole lot of it, but I remember that being a really good one.
But he's got, you know, the big board where he's got everything kind of connected. There was some of that was going on, and we will have DMAC, I believe, at 12:15 to tell us what he saw down on the field, and we were up on the hill on that regard. But just
kind of DMAC tweeting today. I mean, he had a little buzz going through, I know, us, and like, like it's almost like when Mark Schlereth called on draft day. Remember when Mark Schlereth called on draft day with the Aaron Rodgers news?
Yep. That is a record here on day 7 of the Mark Schlereth beer campaign. Have you ever gotten it in before 12:06?
No.
That was really good.
Yeah, felt good. It just felt like, you know, it was just, I was working in there perfectly with D-Mac because, you know, I don't know if D-Mac swung and missed here because he was trying to read too much into it or, you know, he is just goo-goo gaga for Drew Lock right now. I mean, he is like, it's just like, oh my goodness. You know, I'm more Teddy Bridgewater, but I also could see a scenario where it could be Drew Lock. I'm not, you know, this thing is really close. Like he's got the blinders on. Like D-Mac's in love. You know, when you first start meeting, you get in love. I mean, he is just like got the blinders on. He is falling head over heels for Drew Lock, and then he sends this cryptic tweet out like we might be getting some news, and we're thinking that they're going to announce a starting quarterback. Teddy's not going to get round two coming up. It's going to be Drew Lock, and I don't know. Right?
Yeah, I don't think we heard it. That was what he was insinuating.
Yeah.
And we'll certainly have him on to explain his side of it or let us know maybe what he caught wind of down there that we didn't. He is a little smitten. Now, I'm on the Drew Lock side of this equation, too. We made our wager yesterday at the end of the show, our steak dinner, where you've got Teddy, I've got Drew. Based on kind of the vibe down there today, which very much felt like, hey, number 3 is the starter, number 5 is the backup. That was the vibe I got. That was what was in the air. I would be happy to offer you a chance to sort of, you know, cash out early on this thing and maybe say, hey, instead of keeping the steak dinner on the table, let's just call it good and make it, you know, coffees or whatever. So if you want out, it's been less than 24 hours. It's kind of like the lemon law with the car.
Right.
I'm happy to let you out early if you want.
I like that. No.
Okay.
Absolutely not. I've taken a few cash outs in my day.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And they always seem to backfire. Right? They always seem to backfire. And I told myself, don't do it again. And I'm certainly not doing it in this situation. And, you know, I feel like I'm really proud of myself right now. I just got a text from Mike Evans.
Okay.
Believe me, I know smear campaigns. That was done brilliantly. So, they've had a smear campaign going on for a long time. And so for Mike to kind of say, hey, great job, you know, it makes you feel good. Makes you feel like you really did a good job there. And so that one did feel good. But when you get, like, you know, from the upperclassman, the older guy, and he says, hey, thumbs up.
Sure.
Makes you feel really good.
Kind of the inventor of the smear campaign,
yes, right.
Really. Right.
Right. And when the originator.
Yeah. When he tips the cap and says, hey, that's as good as it can be done.
Yes.
That's when you know you're doing it right. But
no buyout, though, James. Okay. I mean, there's no chance on this thing. I'm still thinking it's going to be Teddy. I don't, you know, the buzz going on today, I'm like, well, maybe it's going to be Drew.
Yeah,
whatever.
You were getting nervous. I could just kind of feel it.
I don't know about nervous. I was just confused. You know, I'm like confused. What's going on? Right? Like, why are you calling it right now? You're not even going to give Teddy a chance to go with the ones this weekend. You're going to call it, you know, 2 days before the second preseason game. Why not just wait? Why not just wait till next week and then call it? It just seemed like odd timing for me. So, you know, look, I was confused by it, by the buzz. I mean, I'm like, huh, it just didn't make sense to me on so many different levels. But a lot of things that Vic has done hasn't made sense to me. So I was like, oh, okay, well, if it's over, it's over. You know, I whiffed on this one. This will be a big L for me because all along I've said it's going to be Teddy. I still think it's going to be Teddy, and that's what I'm sticking to.
Well, there were things down there today that obviously were making folks think that maybe the Broncos are closer to this decision than we thought and that it's leaning toward Drew. So we'll have D-Mac on here in about 5 minutes to talk about that. We'll go into some of the audio from yesterday when both Drew and Teddy spoke to the media. Kind of you can read between the lines there of whether or not one of them sounded like a starter and one of them sounded like a backup.
Well, yeah, and we're getting that on the RamosLaw.com text line right now. Bridgewater sounded like he was told yesterday.
Yeah, he did. He did. Like he was resigned to that fact. So we'll get into that audio.
But listen, let me just hit that real quick.
Yeah.
Just real quick. If those guys have been told, word would be out. Word would be out.
You don't think they can keep a secret?
Mm-mm. No. I mean, look, I think it's going to get leaked to someone.
Well,
they've been told.
Yeah, no.
So when
I'm
was
with
Teddy
you.
Told?
I'm with you.
And so wait, once again, okay, real quick. So if they were told, when were they told? Before practice yesterday? Why is Teddy taking first team reps from Drew? None of it makes sense. So no, I don't think they've been told. I think Teddy's just trying to be a good teammate. And I want to listen to the audio when we do have it on all of it because I have it. But I think Teddy's being a veteran guy, being a good teammate. He's going to be supportive. This is who he is.
Yeah, no, I'm with you. I don't think they've been told. Because if they've been told, then why even bother going through the charade on Saturday where Teddy's taking...
You're wasting time.
Yeah, reps with the ones. I don't think they've been told. I just think Teddy Bridgewater, you know, he's been around. He knows this league. I think he can read the tea leaves better than any of us can. And I think he's just kind of resigned to the fact. But we'll get around to that. And on the quarterback front, there's also... We thought the Pat Shurmur... Drew Lock controversy when Drew got yanked from a drill, we thought that was over, right? We got the explanation.
It was done.
From Drew yesterday at the podium.
Didn't buy it either,
but it was at least the explanation. It matched what DMAC had been told and was hearing, and you know, we were kind of putting it all together. I'm like, okay, that's the official story. Then there was another story that went out yesterday on social media that we weren't quite buying. Well, Pat Shurmur went that way today, so they're not they don't have their story straight. The cover up is going in two different directions, so we'll get around to that. But I also feel like since I'm sitting in for Zach today, I need to mention all the people I talked to on the
show.
Right?
Did you scare any little kids?
No.
He also does that a lot. Like Zach is very like he scares kids. I mean, he did it yesterday. Yeah. I don't know whose kid it was, but it was a little girl and the dad was right there and Zach just like he's like a little bit of close talker and then the girl's like running behind her dad. It's like, dude,
so
stop.
It was
creepy.
I wasn't able to do that. I did come in with a Starbucks cup because that's what Zach does every day. So I did that. There were no kids to scare. There were no 10-year-old kids to talk to like they're three.
Right.
I didn't get the chance to do that. But I did get a chance to talk to a lot of the folks on the Hill. And that actually has been really, I think, the best. Well, two things I've really enjoyed about camp. One, the vantage point up there and hanging out with you and Zach and Richie and Tyler and just, and you know, Cecil and everybody just kind of getting the perspective.
Luke's
there every day.
Yeah.
That's been great. But then I like being, you know, I'm born and raised in this town. I'm a fan first and foremost. So, you know, I like hanging out with the fans. So today we hung out with Blake and Gage. Shelly was there. I talked to Brent and Scott on my way out for quite a while. So I had to do my Zach bye and drop
Love
all
it.
That knowledge.
Now, there you go.
You know, normally he's got some backstory for everybody. All
right.
I found out was that Brent and Scott were from the Loveland Berthoud area. That's all I got.
Okay.
I don't know if they work for UPS. I don't know if they're, you know, Zach's barber or whatever the case may be. But that was fun.
Right.
That was maybe my highlight of the day. Anything
that I like, you know, for me, you know, usually during training camp, we're down on the field level, right? All of us are down there. The view's a lot better where the fans are.
Yep.
And it is awesome to interact with fans, you know, throughout the course of this training camp. That is a lot of fun, and not just the fans, the people that are working out there, and helping out. My girl Rachel out there. She always hooked me up with a sweet parking spot. You know, I didn't have to park with y'all. She took care of me.
That was a humble brag.
Hey, I'm not mad at it. Didn't need the parking pass. So I appreciate Rachel for hooking me up. But all the workers out there, a lot of them listen to this show. And so that's what makes it fun. That's what makes it fun. Chatting with the listeners, chatting with the fans. And today was it. That was it. Last day.
Yep.
So
final day. It flew by. I mean, it's hard to believe that training camp, at least the portion that's open, to the fans is over. Speaking of the fans though, and this may be another thing that makes you a little nervous about our bet. Did you see Tyler's Twitter poll that he put up yesterday asking the fans, hey, who do you want? Do you want Drew or do you want Teddy?
so because what the Twitter poll said from fans, I'm supposed to feel nervous.
Well,
I go with more thought into, you know, when I'm looking at a situation.
I get it.
Okay?
I'm with you. But, you know, if it's a 50-50 competition, if it's even Steven – you would think that the results would be somewhere near 50-50, right? Maybe it's a 54-46, it's a 58-42. You would think it would be somewhat close.
How many responded?
It was like well over 700. I mean, okay. he was pushing 1,000.
Okay, I see you, Tyler.
When I was there with Tyler today and he showed me the results, 88% picked Drew Lock. Like, that's 8 out of 9 fans would rather have Drew Lock.
Okay.
So if you're
Can
the Broncos,
I explain?
Hey, well, yeah, but if you're the Broncos and you've been bad and you've been boring and you're going to trot out a guy that 1 out of 9 fans wants to see be the starting quarterback, man, you better win because
that's what I mean.
You
they
got
know,
nowhere
James.
Else to go. It better work out because if it doesn't work out,
you don't think
out,
they know that?
It is going to, if you go Drew though and it doesn't work out.
You're still fired. You still stink. I mean, it doesn't matter.
But at least
either one you pick.
At least you gave the people what they want.
Hey,
if you don't give the people what they want, you better be right because there is no coming back from that.
And
you
know, why do the people want Drew? People want flash. People want big arm. People want explosive plays. Okay. I mean, look, you know, people want the Ferrari. Right? I mean, they don't want they don't want the, you know, whatever, the beater. I mean, they want the...
They don't want the Pinto?
No, they want the Maserati. They want the Alfa Romeo. They want the Aston Martin. Right? I mean, that's what they want. They don't want the basic car. Right? So that just, I mean, that's from a fan's perspective. And so they want the big arm guy. They want the guy that's going to give them more flash. And, so that's why people, and you're talking about 700.
It's not just the big arm, though. And I do think that's part of it.
Oh, that's part of it. It's a gunslinger, James. That has a draw for people. It's like this guy could, and then you have some that just feel like he could still be that guy.
Right.
And still be the future.
I think that's a bigger part of it. I do think that, hey, it's the gunslinger. He's fun. It's entertaining, which at the end of the day, it's about entertainment. So that's a part of it.
No, it's about winning.
But
it's about winning.
It's also about the fact that one guy can be the long-term answer, and the other guy cannot be the long-term, or probably is not going to be the long-term answer, and I think people are going in that direction. All right, so speaking of this decision, the 50-50 battle, our guy D-Mac, now he's down there with the VIP special people on the field,
right,
with the media, and
with the fans.
He got the Hill and everybody a buzz today when he put out this tweet. Very, very interesting twist happening at camp right now. Not exactly sure what it means. Can't be specific about it now, but we'll explore. D-Mac, are you going to provide us any clarification on this? What were you seeing down there that got the rumor mill swirling?
Yeah, well, there's certain reporting guidelines that we have to kind of stick to and agree to be down there. But I've seen other people talk about it. Including our own Cecil Lammy. And I think if you guys haven't mentioned it, you may have. And what I thought the twist was, in a week that Teddy Bridgewater is the starting quarterback and it's Teddy's week in a walkthrough day, I thought the twist was Drew Lock going out there with the ones almost every single time as the first guy to rep with the ones. Now, of course, Teddy did rep with the ones as well, but it was almost always as the second guy to go in. And I think that's interesting. On a week that Teddy was there and is going to be the starter, that he doesn't, in a walkthrough session, he's not the first guy in there. It's not that he didn't take reps with the ones, but on a day that was, you know, really designed, I would think, to prepare for Seattle, you saw Drew in there first. I think that's a twist.
Yeah, and D-Mac, but I look back at a week ago, and when I thought that Drew, because he was a starter, should be out there first with the first group when it was getting close to game time, or before they actually, you know, were leaving, and seemed like they were doing almost the same thing that we saw today, it was Teddy going in. So sometimes there's no rhyme or reason for what they do, but I'm with you. Like today, you thought with the walkthrough style that it was, they were doing scout teams, so they were going up against Seattle Seahawks defense, that Teddy would have got more of the reps, but I just don't think that you can read too much into it right now because they're trying to get these guys the same amount of reps, and for whatever reason, it was more Drew Lock, when you would think, though, that it should have been more Teddy Bridgewater working with the first group.
You know, it's, stoked if it was just like Wednesday or Tuesday when they were really repping, when they were in pads, when it was a competitive situation. I would agree with you. I'm agreeing with you top to bottom, actually. But all right, let's logically think about this. Why on a day where it really is just going against scout team at, I mean, 0%, it is a walkthrough, when Teddy is going to start and he is going to theoretically be with the ones, why? And here's what I think. I think they have made up, this is my opinion now, this is my opinion. I think they have made up their minds. I think it is Drew, unless he falls on his face. I mean, falls flat on his face. And I think they're already sending the message to the team, hey, Drew was here last year. He gets to get the first snap of training camp. He gets to go in the first game. He gets to go with the ones. I think Teddy Bridgewater's attitude yesterday about, hey, I played here and I played there, and you never know who's going to play and you never know who's going to get hurt. Guys, we're all forced to read through the tea leaves at this point, but it seems clear to me that the Broncos certainly don't want to give the message that Drew isn't the starter and isn't the guy. He hasn't fallen on his face. So logically, in my opinion, if you go step by step by step, it really feels like to me that Drew is going to be the guy, and I think today was further evidence of it when it logically would have made more sense that it's Teddy's week. It hasn't been Teddy's week, even though he is going to get the start against Seattle. We haven't seen, like, anything lean towards Teddy to help him in that department. And when you just hear Teddy talk, you tell me, Stoke, you play with a lot of starting quarterbacks and a lot of backup quarterbacks. What did Teddy Bridgewater sound like to you?
Well, we haven't played the audio yet, and we didn't react to it yesterday. I read some of the quotes. I mean, that's just being a veteran player, being a good teammate. But I want to listen to it all. I haven't listened to it all. But I wanted, before we let you go, D-Mac, sure. Did you hear Pat Shurmur's explanation for Drew Lock being pulled today? I mean, that contradicts with what you said. That contradicts what Drew Lock said. That contradicts what everybody else said. What is going on here? How do you read into that? What do you think about that?
Well, I knew that was going to be the explanation because, Doak, I think you knew that was going to be the explanation. And so Shurmur just didn't talk yesterday, but Shurmur won. The funny part is maybe somebody should have clued Drew into what the explanation should have been.
D-Mac, maybe somebody should have clued Pat Shurmur into what Drew said yesterday and then just continue with that. That's what everybody's been saying. Everybody's been saying that it was just a numbers thing. It was on the script. This is the way it's supposed to go. And now all of a sudden, Pat Shurmur today says opposite of what Drew Lock said yesterday. I don't get it. I mean, this thing was a dead story, and now it's got life again.
Oh my God.
Which one is it? Why are they lying? Why are they making things up? Tell me.
Specifically, Drew was asked yesterday, did he get pulled? And today, Shurmur was asked, what was the conversation he was having with Drew about? So technically, it was two different questions about the same topic. But I'm not going to spoil the fun everybody's having with this. So,
All right.
But I started laughing when Shurmur, listen, I knew, and you knew, to be fair, that Shurmur wanted to explain this. You knew it. And it was funny because I told Chris after, as I go, oh, man, you beat me to the punch on that one. And he did. I mean, that's just the way these press conferences go. He just kind of, you know, it's got a rhythm, and he asked the question right before I got in there. So who knows what the answer would have been, because I was going to ask, did you pull Drew from the drill, and what were you talking to him about? And instead, Mike just said, what was the conversation with Drew about? Mike didn't kind of go with the did you get pulled thing, and that's the question Drew got asked yesterday. So I don't know, guys. I mean, have fun with it, I guess, but I knew that that's what Shermer was going to say, but as soon as he started talking about it, I was thinking about you, Brandon, and I just started laughing to myself.
Oh, yeah.
Because, yeah, there's ways, because it does sound like different stories here. It's not all the same narrative.
Yeah, we will definitely have some fun with it today. It's like, you know, any good cover-up, you just got to make sure everybody's got the same story.
D-Mac,
thanks, buddy. We appreciate you stirring things up today when we were on the Hill with your tweet, and then coming on here and stirring it up with us as well. We appreciate it.
There you go. We live to serve.
All right. There he goes, D-Mac. Yeah, and we touched on it there, and, you know, we haven't played the audio yet, so we want to make sure everybody gets a chance to hear it. We'll break it down. You can dissect it and parse it however you want. But, yeah, there was a different story today from Pat Shermer about the interaction between he and Drew Lock a couple of days at practice than we got from Drew Lock yesterday. We'll play both those explanations for you coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
You can't hide.
Done, Richie. Appropriate song from the Eagles coming out of break. A little Lion Eyes. Stoke, I think we got a little fibbing going on down at Dove Valley. So let's.
I mean, D-Max has nothing to see here, but man, I want to hear both of them.
Yeah.
And then we're going to hear the audio, and then we can kind of comb through it. But all right, I mean, I'm sensing something's not right.
Something is amiss. We have two distinctly different explanations for a situation that unfolded on Tuesday. We were down there at practice. We all saw it. It was Drew Lock in the huddle getting ready to run a play to get one of his reps. And all of a sudden, Teddy Bridgewater comes in, taps him out. Drew goes back over behind the huddle. He's standing next to Pat Shermer. They have an animated conversation where Drew is pointing out at the field, kind of like he's trying to explain what he read. This came after a play in which Drew Lock held the ball seemingly forever before dumping it out into the flat to the running back. They have a bit of an animated conversation, and Teddy ran the drill. Now, Teddy had already had his reps in this drill, so he came back in, which we were there for every practice. I don't remember it ever happening.
I don't either.
Where one guy started the drill, did his reps, came out, and then came back in. It's the only time I remember it happening. But anyhow, that was the scenario. Yesterday, Drew Lock was asked about it. Here was the quarterback's explanation.
You know, we have, believe it or not, we have scripts that are set reps. And just so happened that there was talk about a play, and it was actually my last rep of that set. So I didn't make the right read on a play, then came out, and it obviously looked like me and Shermer had an altercation. He pulled me out until you get in there. No, it was the last set of the period. I just always, after every play, I walk to the huddle, and then I see Teddy come on. Okay, I'm out. I don't know exactly when my last plays are and everything, but no, it's just, it's how the script rolls in practice.
Okay. I mean, it was like, that's not what I saw. That we haven't seen that once. Saw Pat Shermer upset, saw Drew Lock go back to the huddle, in the huddle, and then all of a sudden Pat sends Teddy in, and Teddy has to tap Drew out. It's just a lot of different things like that I saw didn't like vibe with what Drew was saying just then.
Right.
Okay? Okay, I guess somebody's going to win the Powerball, so lightning can strike somewhere. So I guess all those things together, okay, whatever. And then, you know, we were kind of ready to let it go.
Yeah. Now, could I believe that story? Sure. Now, I think a good rule of thumb in life is anytime somebody starts an explanation with, believe it or not, what they're about to say is
trust me,
not 100% true. It's sort of like saying, to be honest with you.
Trust me.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. My radar goes up, if I'm being honest about that. But okay. I mean, then Teddy and Drew both lost track of the rep because neither one of them knew it was Teddy's turn.
That's what I'm saying. It's like lightning had to hit. I mean, it's like really no one knew. We haven't seen this happen before like this, taking the quarterback out and going back in and back out. I mean, haven't seen it. But
Drew did admit there was an animated conversation between he and Pat Shermer. So
yes.
we weren't making that up.
Nope.
He admitted that went down. And so clearly, Drew Locke got the Wednesday version of the bullet points for the explanation for this, because that's the script he was reading at the press conference yesterday. At the same time yesterday, a member of the state-sponsored media put out a tweet that had a different explanation, and then we never heard anything more of it. Just that was out there. I'm like, huh, that's weird, because that's distinctly different than what we heard through channels and what Drew Locke just told us. Well, then, lo and behold, Pat Shurmur goes to the podium today. He's asked about it. Here's his explanation.
A couple days ago, that was the crowd noise day. I was more ticked off at technology, because when we amped up the sound, for whatever reason, Drew's helmet went off, so I couldn't communicate with him. I wasn't upset with Drew. I was just ticked at the situation. And again, I get animated a lot. I just don't make it about me, and I try to keep it from you. But that had nothing to do with Drew.
Huh. Well, Drew just told us they had an animated discussion.
Yeah. So now it's Pat Shurmur's angry at technology because apparently the speaker in Drew's helmet wasn't working.
Liar!
It seems as though Drew Locke would have been aware of that fact. And when asked about it, it would have been really easy yesterday for Drew Locke to say, yeah, the speaker in my helmet wasn't working, so I came over and talked to Coach. Like, that would have been really easy. He didn't say anything about the speaker in his helmet. He said it wasn't his turn, it wasn't his rep, and he just lost track of the count, and he came out, and we have a different explanation today. So, do I think it's
Real quick. Also, so if it's a speaker, Pat Shurmur is literally 7 yards away from Drew behind him.
We're
in a quarterback competition.
Yeah.
Okay, you're trying to get everything 50-50. You don't take a guy out because the speaker doesn't work. You have him run over to you 5 yards, and you yell in his ear.
Yeah.
Dice right, 225, you know, Z under, X go. You know, left go. You know, I mean, that's it. It takes 5 seconds. You don't pull a guy out because the speaker's not working. You wait till special teams goes on, and then you give it to Flip and Harry, and you say, hey, can you fix this thing up? And that's when you do it. But in a competition, you don't pull your guy out.
Well, no, you don't. The other part of this that makes no sense is anybody who's ever watched a football game, we all know kind of the universal hand signal for my helmet's speakers aren't working,
what is
right?
It?
You start kind of pointing at it,
yeah.
You're covering your ears, you're like, I can't hear,
right.
you're doing that thing. We saw none of that. Drew Locke never took his helmet off, and the thing miraculously healed itself, apparently, because he was able to go through the rest of practice without this breakdown in technology. Look, it's a bunch of nonsense. There's two different stories that have been put out to explain this, and they didn't bother to make sure everybody was on the same page and telling the same story. At the end of the day, I don't know that the interaction between Locke and Shurmur was that big a deal. Like, fine, the coach and the quarterback got into it. They had a disagreement. The coach yelled at the player, like happens all the time at every level of football. It's not that huge of a deal. But again, the fact that they're trying so hard to make this go away or to explain it away, and they've got different stories, it makes me wonder why.
Why? Like,
why?
Exactly.
Why are they doing this?
Exactly. I mean, and that's all I can come up with here, because guess what? If you pull a guy, you pull a guy. Who cares? A lot of guys been pulled. Say,
right,
I needed
right.
to talk to him about what he went through right there on that play. So I had to get him out of there for a couple plays, and then we're going to put him back in. But we needed to talk about that, because that was something that came up, and I thought it was a big deal. So, so I asked him to come out so we can discuss that right then and there, because I wanted to make sure I got my point across to him. Okay, end of story. Now, but why are we hearing different stories on this if it's really nothing? But why, James? Why?
I don't know.
Why?
I have no idea. And you're 100% right. And it's why it's always just better to tell the truth, because then you never have to remember what story you told. If they'd have just come out and said, yeah, I was upset with him because he made the wrong read. I wanted him to come over and stand next to me while I explained it to him. Okay. End of story. Like, fine. No big deal.
Happens all the time.
All the time. It's the cover up that's always bigger than the or a bigger deal than the crime. And look, this isn't a huge deal, the cover up or the crime, but it is just bizarre. It does make you wonder why. Tyler had the theory yesterday on the drive that this is more evidence that Drew Locke's going to get the job, because they're trying to put a lid on this story. Maybe there's something to that. Maybe there's not. I don't know what the reason why is. It makes no sense to me that they're going to these lengths to have two different stories to explain something away that really didn't need to be that big of a deal. It does point out, though, right, like the day it happened on Tuesday, there was some conversation about, like, is that really what went down? Is that really what happened? Did he really get yanked? Like, we were 100% onto it in terms of what we saw that day at practice. He got yanked from the drill. He went back and had a conversation with Pat Shurmur. To me, there's absolutely no doubt about that fact. That's exactly what went down.
And that's what it looked like. And you're right. It's not a big deal. It's not a huge deal. It would have been gone 2 days ago. But when you start hearing conflicting reports, conflicting stories of what happened, why it happened, none of it really makes sense. And you ask why?
Yeah.
You know, and I mean, I'm left to almost agree with Tyler here that, you know, that they want Drew to be the starter, or they think Drew's going to be the starter. So you're trying to protect the guy. You don't want your starter, the perception that he's getting pulled in the middle of practice. Right, you don't want that, so maybe it's because of that. I don't know. We'll see. I don't think it's a huge deal, but the fact that we're hearing different stories makes me, like, just curious. Like, what's going on here?
Yeah, no doubt. Clearly, Pat Shurmur had the old bullet points. He didn't read the new PR release.
You got to check that board every day before you walk out.
Yeah,
you know.
He was still the old story because he did not have it straight with his quarterback. So that was an interesting thing that transpired today down at training camp. All right, Stoke, even the national media is now getting on board the Jerry Jeudy hype train. That may be bad news for one popular Bronco. Who is it? We'll tell you that coming up next.
It's Training Camp 50-50, Teddy versus Drew, powered by Twin Peaks. Here's Stokely and Zach.
The Raiders rush two, and Jeudy with the catch on the run at the 30. And across midfield, a burst from Jerry Jeudy, and he will take it the distance. Touchdown, Denver, 92 yards.
That was clearly the highlight of Jerry Jeudy's rookie season a year ago. During training camp, the second-year wideout he's looked fantastic. So every single day, he's been making catches, been part of the highlight reel, turning cornerbacks around. He's looked great. He's been a kind of one of the guys that you've seen at camp and thought, man, that guy is going to have a big, big year. Nationally, that started to kind of get some traction. You see these lists that different publications come out with of potential breakout stars. He's always on them, it seems like. Well, today, the Jerry Jeudy hype train continued. Peter Schrager from Good Morning Football had this to say.
Jerry Jeudy has outstanding footwork. Everyone knows it. He can stop on a dime. It is the kind of stuff they compare to Julian Edelman or Chad Johnson. Some of the best footwork guys in NFL history. That was week one. We have another play here. This is from week four against the Jets with Brett Rippon throwing him the ball on a Thursday night. Again, new quarterback, instability there. He can go up and get the ball.
Yeah.
Talk about all these Alabama receivers of this year. Devontae Smith, of course, is going to make a difference. We know what he's going to be. We got Jalen Waddle down there in Miami. Everyone's excited. Last year, we also had Henry Ruggs, the burner. There are so many Alabama receivers that it's hard to remember that Jeudy was the very best of them when he was in college. When they were all together in that room, Jeudy was the guy. I know Drew Locke's the quarterback, and there's questions. That's fair. I understand. I know Teddy Bridgewater. We don't know who's going to be. I think Drew Locke's going to be better than we think. I think Jerry Jeudy is going to be a standout. They have Cortland Sutton. They have K.J. Hamler. They have Noah Fant. Judy's the number one. This is the guy. You don't draft a player in the top 15 for him not to be.
Okay. Look, I mean, we've seen it. I think everybody that's watched Jerry Jeudy throughout camp is high on Jerry Jeudy this year. He looks like he's ready to take that next step. I mean, he is an elite route runner. He had too many drops last year. That's obvious. But overall, he had over 800 yards, I believe. So it was a solid start besides the drop. The drops, you know, really were one of those things that you couldn't figure out. But we'll see how it looks this year. I mean, he's got to go out there and catch the ball more consistently, but I think he's ready to take that step. This isn't a guy that had drop problems in college. He's a good player after the catch also, and we saw that against the Vikings.
Yep.
He's not one of those guys that dips out of bounds. I mean, he's tough with the football in his hands. He's a smaller guy. I mean, he's not built, so he's a skinnier guy, but he's tough. Look, I'm expecting him to take a big step forward this year and have a great year, as is most people.
Yeah, and he's we've only seen him put the football on the ground one time that I can recall during camp.
That's it.
So the drops were clearly the issue during his rookie year. I'm not saying that's fixed because practice is different than games, and I still have some questions that whether or not all this, you know, greatness on the practice field is going to translate into greatness in regular season games, but
that's fair.
He's been the
star. That's fair because he was great last year in training camp.
Yeah, exactly. But he has been the star receiver down there. What I think is interesting is, yeah, I think Jerry Jeudy's going to have a really good year. I think he's going to have a big year. I think he has a chance to flirt with numbers similar to what Justin Jefferson put up a year ago with the Vikings, which was 80 some catches, 1400 yards, and, you know, pushing double digit touchdowns. Like, I think he has a chance to put up those kind of numbers. But I think if that's going to happen, it's going to come at the expense of someone. Noah Fant has looked great in camp. KJ Hamler has looked great in camp and in preseason games. Cortland Sutton coming off the ACL injury. And I said it, I don't know, I came in here and was on with you and Zach, like first or second day of practice, and said that he looks like he's hobbling around. And, you know, Zach thought that was maybe a little hyperbolic. But he doesn't run like he used to. He doesn't run without a little bit of a, you know.
A little giddy up?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know that I'd call it a limp.
Right.
But it's something.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
He just doesn't look like himself. And he's in the final year of his deal. If Jerry Jeudy has this breakout year that everybody expects and he becomes the number one, I think that has some big time implications on whether or not Cortland Sutton remains in a Broncos uniform.
Yeah, I mean, oh yeah, all that will come into play. I think more importantly than that is just how Cortland responds with his knee. What does he look like? And you know, you don't have to go out there and have a 1,200-yard season, but how does he progress throughout the season? Is he making some of those Cortland Sutton type of catches that we, you know, saw a couple years ago in camp? I mean, all that I think will dictate what happens with Cortland. Look. You know you can have two number ones on your team, right? I mean, we did an Indy. Marvin, Reggie.
Oh, sure.
And guess what? Dallas Clark. Now I understand we had Peyton Manning as our quarterback and some really good offenses. But at the same time, like, you can have two really good wide receivers on your team. And one can be a one week and the other can be a one another week. So it can work out. But I think Cortland just needs to take care of Cortland and make sure he's healthy and have a good year. And if he does that, I think the Broncos will do whatever they can to try to keep him.
I think you can definitely have two number ones. I do think it'll be interesting, though, if Jerry Jeudy has this breakout year and clearly is a number one, right? If he has Justin Jefferson-type numbers, he's without a doubt a number one. He's a top 10 receiver in the league maybe at that point. If KJ Hamler plays well and looks like, yep, he can be the two, Tim Patrick, you know, does what he did a year ago, can repeat that. I don't know, though, that you look at that and say, man, we got two guys on rookie contracts. Tim Patrick came in here as a free agent, so he's, you know, not huge money tied up in him. I don't know that they break the bank to keep Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I mean, we'll cross that bridge, I think, when we get there. We'll see how this season looks. I think a lot of different roads you can go down with that conversation with Cortland Sutton when you start looking at the other guys. I think Tim Patrick's on a last year of his deal. You know, they just put a second-round tender on him. So, you know, you have a lot of moving parts and pieces here. And like I said, I think ultimately a lot will decide whether Cortland's back. But if Cortland goes out there and plays well and shows that he's healthy, that's a huge part of it. And I was hearing Nate Jackson today. Nate Jackson – it was always Sandy. No, it was Mike Evans. It was at the end of their show. I was going to Broncos practice. And, you know, Nate was being a little bit, as the first guy that I heard being critical of Jerry Jeudy. He's being critical, you know, really critical of his route that he ran on that fourth down. And then he was kind of, I don't want to put words in his mouth, but he's questioning his toughness a little bit, which I don't get. I mean, to me, I haven't seen Jerry Jeudy shy away from contact. I mean, I haven't seen Jerry Jeudy, you know, I would run out of bounds. Right? Ain't nothing wrong with that, but I mean, just in that preseason game, he could have ran out of bounds.
Yeah.
He turned it up the sideline.
He had the first down already, right?
And looked for contact. And I watched film on him coming out of college. That's what he did. He looked for contact. Like, he was not running out of bounds. So I thought that was a little bit off there. Now, his route that he ran, you know, I think what Nate was saying, and I might be a little bit off here, but when I started tuning in, it sounded like, you know, they're comparing it to practice and taking that practice slant that he ran in practice. You know, it's not as physical than what it might be in a game. And you got to be able to fight through that physicality. And I didn't really agree with Nate's assessment there. He was breaking down the route, and, you know, Nate moved the tight end, so I'm going to give him a little bit of a pass breaking down the route. But he was he got some things right, and he got some things wrong. Let's just put it that way. So, but at the same time, you got to understand, slant route, he was running a slant route. He wasn't running a five-yard under route. Difference. Slant route, you take like a 45-degree angle at the, you know, the goalpost. Under route is a flat, right down the line, flat. And I think he had a slant route, so you got to take a little bit of an angle. You can't come all the way flat. And certainly, guess what? When you're at the goal line and you're running that play, what is that defensive back doing that he won't do in the field of play?
He's jumping the slant.
Yeah, and he's right, staying. Yeah. He's not moving back.
He's not afraid you're going to run right by him.
He's not moving back, so he's like flat-footed, right? And so it's a little bit different. And guess what? Sometimes it works. Sometimes it doesn't. Those other guys get paid, too. Not, every route you run, you're not going to be wide open.
I did think it was an interesting point, though, because I heard that conversation
Stick
as well.
Stick to tight ends, Nate.
And he was comparing him to the way Jerry Rice ran routes, which, look, it's the greatest receiver in the history of the league, arguably the greatest NFL player of all time. But he talked about how, you know, Jerry Rice was full speed. First three steps were always the same, no matter what the route was.
Right. Yep. I heard that.
And it was a lot of this, you know, bippity-doo-ba-doo-doo stuff that Jerry Jeudy does with his feet. And it looks great on the practice field and when you're doing one-on-ones and you're breaking ankles out there. But is that going to translate into games? I actually think that's a fair point. Because before the third down completion against the Vikings and the 33-yard catch, they had the play at the goal line where Jeudy wasn't able to get open. They tried a deep ball to him. It was one of Drew's incompletions, and he wasn't able to come down with it. And I tweeted, like, man, is this guy going to be a practice guy that just shines in practice, but it doesn't translate?
Did you really tweet that?
And then 3 seconds later, he gets a 33-yard catch on third and four.
Yeah.
But I do think there's somewhat of it that is fair of, look, you can dance around and twist cornerbacks in circles all day long down at practice. What do you do to guys on the field on fourth and goal from the two? Like, at some point, you got to answer that.
Come on.
No, it's a
fair
question.
No, it's not. It's a bad question.
It's a totally
this guy's
fair
in his
question.
Second year. He hasn't had a lot of that. Like, did he have drops? Yes. So if he's dropping balls, I got it. That Nate's, look, you got to have some of that in your game. You know, you got to have some of that. He's not all. I mean, he goes, you know, straight ahead. He's got speed. So I just thought it was a little bit off. And now I'm going to put you with Nate also. Both of y'all are a little bit off here. And, you know, Nate can stick to tight ends. You can stick to coaches and your evaluation of coaches.
All right.
Let me handle the wide receivers. Jerry Jeudy's just fine.
Did Marvin Harrison do a lot of?
Yeah, he did it all. He did it all. That's what made him so great. He did it all. You got to be able to do a little bit of it all.
Okay. All right.
Then it was like, whoosh.
It's your area of expertise. By far the smoothest runner I've ever seen. Just someone running in person, watching him run routes before one of the Broncos-Colts playoff games. It was either 03 or 04 with Peyton Manning before the game. It like his head never went up and down. It just was level the whole time. It was unbelievable to watch, and he's just out there in, you know, shorts and a t-shirt running routes. He was
impressive.
He was incredible for sure. All right, both quarterbacks spoke yesterday. One maybe sounded like a starter, while the other sounded like a backup. We'll play that audio coming up next.
Miss any of Stokely and Zach? Make sure to subscribe to our on-demand podcast. You'll get every episode as soon as they're released. Just subscribe wherever you get your podcasts or at 104.3thefan.com.